Let's open in prayer. Father, as we come before you this morning, as we prepare to hear your word, we just ask that you open our hearts, our minds, our souls, that your word might penetrate and help us become different. Help us be more than we are without you. In Christ's name, amen. So this is the second week that we've looked at these verses. Today, I wanted to talk about heaven. Now, have you ever been anxious about heaven? I mean, have you ever wondered if you're going? Have you ever wondered when you get there, will you recognize family and friends when you get to heaven? I seem to be asked, one of the questions I'm asked is, will we know each other in heaven? I've never doubted since I've become a Christian that I'll end up going to heaven at some point when the Lord takes me home. And then I'll be in the presence of Christ forever. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. We know that we really don't belong to this world, that we are really just sojourners or passing through. And this morning I want to explore this passage in the Word of God and see, will we know each other in heaven? So let's explore heaven this morning using these first four verses of John. It says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me, in Jesus. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, and if we were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Now, last week, we talked about one of the things that it's not just an architectural remodeling of heaven and adding more rooms so there's a place for you, but that Jesus actually is preparing heaven for each and every believer so that they can enjoy their eternal time with God. So then it says, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. So this talks about Jesus coming back, taking his church home. And as we begin then to delve into what looking at heaven, the first point I want to make is not whether we will recognize each other. What is most important is we'll be in the presence of God. And the question then would, will we recognize Jesus? See, we begin with Jesus because we know Jesus is the main point of heaven. And if Jesus is in heaven, then heaven truly is a spiritual and a godly reunion. And this is the first and foremost important thing about heaven. It's all about God and the worship of Him. In the Acts of the Apostle, we read that they were getting ready to stone and kill Stephen. And he speaks out saying, behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man, referring to Jesus, standing at the right hand of God. See, Christ revealed himself to Stephen and he recognized Jesus as he approached his death. Stephen was able to die in full faith and peace that he would soon be with Jesus and would be able to express to Jesus his deep appreciation and his praise and his love because Jesus deserves praise and glory. See, what makes heaven truly heaven is God and experiencing Him forever. Jesus is and always will be our first priority, our first love, and the real reality of heaven. This is what Jesus meant when He told His disciples, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." See, at the moment Stephen was preparing to die, he understood these words that were given by Jesus to the disciples on his last night, the night he was arrested. Jesus had prepared Stephen, and Stephen was coming home, his true home, heaven. At this point, then, we understand and we recognize that heaven is about Jesus, and we will know Jesus, and we will experience Him directly in heaven. I am often asked, will we recognize each other? After all, won't we be changed? It says, won't we have glorified bodies? I mean, we no longer have our earthly ones. While on earth, was not Jesus fully God and fully man or human? And His human body had not been glorified as yet. And He gathered His disciples. And after the Lord's Supper, and Judas had left. Remember, Judas was a big distraction, and things changed after he left. And Jesus told them, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God is glorified in Him, God will also glorify Him in Himself and will glorify Him immediately." What a confusing statement in a way. But what Christ is really trying to talk about is the Trinity here. About God the Father, and He is God the Son, are one. There is only one God, but it is manifested in three personalities. And so, by the Son being glorified, God is glorified, for they are one. Jesus was then arrested, He was crucified, and He rose from the dead. When Jesus rose from the dead, did not the other 11 disciples recognize Him? And was He not recognized by more than 500 people after His death? See, and Stephen recognized Him. Stephen knew Christ at the moment of His death. Then, if this is not true, will it not also be true for us? Will we not recognize each other and recognize Jesus? Won't we know and recognize those people that we have known on this earth? And it'll even be more than that. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But let me return to the beginning. Let me go back to Genesis. It says in Genesis, Abraham breathed his last and he died in a ripe old age. An old man satisfied with life. And he was gathered to his people. See, when Abraham died, he wasn't buried in Ur of the Chaldeans, was he? No, he was buried in the new promised land that God had given them. He was not buried among his earthly ancestors. And as we just read in verse 8, he was gathered to his people, but it says in the scriptures he wasn't buried until verse 9. What that tells us then is being gathered to his people is not talking about where he was buried. It's talking about his spiritual life, being part of the new people of God, those that God created for his glory to worship him here on earth. And that he was being gathered with those who had gone before him. Now, did any believers in God die before Abraham? Probably, most certainly, he had many slaves, many people in his extended family. Not all of them lived as long as he did. And there's indications in the scriptures, many of those that were part his slaves and servants and extended family came to believe in the same God that we believe in, that Abraham believed in. This is also consistent with this use of the phrase gathered to his people. It's used multiple times in the scriptures to describe Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and Aaron as they were dying, that they were being gathered to his people. And this means they were being gathered with this new people God had called to worship him, not their physical ancestors. King David had a child by Bathsheba in a manner that wasn't really very honoring to God. But God then struck that child. The child became sick and died. While the child was sick, David knew that he was to blame. It was his sin. And he fasted and he prayed. So great was David's sorrow for this sin and what had happened that when the child died, the servants didn't want to tell the king that the child had died because they feared what his reaction would be. David perceived the change in their demeanor and he asked, "Is the child dead?" David surprised everyone when they told him the child was dead by rising from his place of mourning, and he washed, he dressed, he ate, and he resumed his duties as king. When the servants asked David about his sudden change in demeanor and why he was able to stop mourning and pay attention to the normal life duties of a king, David explained. He said, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me that the child may live. But now he has died. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back?'" Now, watch what David says here. Notice he says, "I will go to him, but he will not return to me." David is not just talking about the point at some point in his life he's going to die and go to heaven. That's not what he's talking about. David believed that when he died and went to heaven, he would recognize his son. He would be with him. He would fellowship with him in heaven. Let's fast forward 1,000 years. Let's go to Jesus and his transfiguration. Now, Jesus took 3 of his favorite disciples, the PJs, I always called them, Peter, John, and James. And of course, John is the author of the book we're looking at this morning. But he takes them with him. And Jesus is transfigured to his celestial glory. And who appears beside Jesus at his transfiguration? Moses and Elijah. And Luke describes both Moses and Elijah as men. Peter recognizes Moses and Elijah for who they are, and he knows who they are. So Moses and Elijah were glorified at that point, weren't they? Didn't they come to meet Christ in the air from heaven? And if they were recognizable, then won't we be recognizable? Jesus spoke, remember, to the centurion, and he was concerned about talking about his faith, and he makes clear that the believing Jews and Gentiles will journey to heaven, and unbelievers will go to hell, and there they will recognize each other. Jesus said, "I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. believers will come together in heaven, not only to worship God and be in the presence of God, but to fellowship with each other. The first and foremost thing about heaven is we will enjoy God and we'll be in His presence. But the second thing is we will enjoy each other and get to fellowship. However, the unsaved, it says, but the sons of the kingdom, and that's talking about the unsaved Jews and by expansion, all unbelievers, will be cast into outer darkness, into that place where weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so we know from Matthew and other verses that unbelievers will also recognize each other in their torment. When we arrive in heaven then, which is eternal, first we get to fellowship with God and we will recognize the patriarchs and we'll recognize each other. And then we get to experience a reunion with all believers, many of which we have dearly loved here on earth. See, I know I will get to see family members again in heaven. Those who have gone before me, including my grandson, Christopher. I will see those who I have deeply loved as I've worked in ministry in many, many countries with other brothers and sisters who have become Christians. I may not see them again in this life, on this earth, for we're spread out in many countries. But I will see them again in heaven. I will be able to enjoy fellowship with them. And quite frankly, I think I'll probably be surprised when I see some people there I wasn't so sure they would be there. And then sadly, I will probably also be surprised that I will not see some that I thought would be there. Because only God knows the condition of a person's heart. Jesus tells us, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And you know the way where I am going. See, as Christians, if we believe in Jesus Christ, we know the way to heaven. As the scriptures say, we are the people of the way. The way is Jesus. The road to heaven is paved, and the way to heaven is paved by faith in Christ and Christ alone. So far, we have seen that heaven is first and foremost about God, about Jesus, and then secondly, that we'll recognize each other. Now I'd like to make a third point. That point is, we shall see each other not as we are now, or even as we have been. We will see each other as we are meant to be. See, John made this clear in his first letter that he wrote. He said, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, Jesus appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. As I have read the Bible through many times and I studied this verse, I usually focused on this word we, but you know, I saw it as the word I. You know, I thought, well, so Bill, I get to be like Jesus. And I took comfort in that and that I would be transfigured to a certain extent to be gloried like Jesus. Not perfect in the same sense of Jesus, because Jesus is the only perfect being in all the universe and all creation. But I would receive a glorified body and live in God's perfection. And as I studied for this Lord's Day message, then I sat back and I was impressed with another thought. It's not just about me. I mean, aren't we all of us a little egocentric at times? I mean, it's about all of us. It's about all Christians will be like Jesus. I mean, what that means in heaven, unlike this earth, sin, ignorance, anger, hate, dishonesty, perversions that mar our relationships with each other, that keep us from enjoying each other, that keep us from truly worshiping Christ as much as we should, those will be eliminated. In heaven, we will have a fresh view of each other. We will see each other not as we know each other now, here on earth, in our sin, but rather we will know each other as God has meant it to be and as He meant us to be. In addition, we will see each other rewarded, it says, for faithful service and in this life. And when somebody is rewarded in heaven, there's not going to be any jealousy. We will rejoice for everybody who receives a reward. Paul explained to Timothy, he said, in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. And then James, the half-brother of Jesus, told the Jerusalem church, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. One does not believe, one does not serve God with their chief purpose in mind of receiving some kind of goal or glory or reward, whether that's a crown or you get to sit a little closer to the throne than somebody else. I mean, that's not why we serve the Lord. We serve the Lord because He first loved us while we were yet sinners. And He deserves our glory and praise. If we serve the Lord for only what we get out of it, then wouldn't that just make us a hired servant, not a child of His inheritance? So the right way to look at the rewards, I think, we can look at the patriarchs out of the Old Testament. They served the Lord by faith in the coming Messiah. They served the Lord because He was God that chose them. Many of those we've read about in the Bible, I mean, weren't they often, they were discouraged, they had hardship, they had trials, they were beat, they had all sorts of trouble. But they remained faithful and they endured because they looked forward to the reward. The reward was that they would be in heaven. I mean, Moses' life was marked by faith, wasn't it? First, by his parents who hid him for 3 months. And then they, by faith, placed him in a basket and put him in the river and floated him away. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 11 speaks extensively on the faith about Moses. And he says in verse 26, he says, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for Moses was looking to the reward. Even Moses was looking to the future and the coming of the Messiah. Not that he was a prince in Egypt. Moses had faith in the Lord. And he was a servant, but not a servant for reward of material things or even a crown in heaven. He was a servant to God's people because he knew who God was and how much he loved him. And his reward was heaven. So, if the reward of heaven is being in the presence of Jesus Christ, living in His presence without sin, the icing on the cake in heaven is that we get to be with family and friends and fellowship without sin. No more family quarrels at gatherings, right? Everybody is going to just see each other as we're meant to be. if the greatest reward in heaven is what may, and what makes heaven the greatest reward is Christ, then truly, to be honest with you, there are days when I so long to be in heaven because this world is tiring at times. And I want to be with Christ. If Christ is what makes heaven special, if that is true, then what about heaven now? I mean, so let me think about this. I mean, Peter spoke to the followers of Christ, those seeking even Christ, and said, repent. Each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So God's gift to sinners is what? Jesus Christ. And it's by Jesus Christ we receive salvation and we are reconciled back to God the Father, correct? And if Christ, God the Son, His gift to us is the gift of God the Holy Spirit, which enables us to live in this world by faith, because the Holy Spirit's indwelling in our soul, He changes who we are. So if we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, God within us, then we are in the presence of Jesus Christ and we can begin to live in heaven today. We can experience heaven to a certain extent here on earth as we prepare to enter heaven and be in the presence of God for all eternity. Is that not what part of our life is about here on earth? We can begin to live now. It says, rejoice when we ourselves are weak, but you are strong. This we also pray for you, that you will be made complete. How are we made complete? By Christ. He begins the process of our being made complete, our becoming free of sin by giving us the Holy Spirit. Paul told his believers, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace. So this is our goal as a community of believers. We are to be like-minded, live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. See, this is how the church is to live. Not only as a witness to the lost world, but because living in harmony, living in peace with each other is a blessing and it's a foreshadow of heaven. So we are to love each other so deeply. And we are to be so concerned for what is the best for others that when we see each other, Paul says we should greet one another with a holy kiss. And it wouldn't be uncomfortable. It wouldn't be weird. Because we are so united in our love of Christ. The choice to live both in the present and in the future heaven is before each of us every day. Jesus said to each one of us, and He said to all of us as the church, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, if it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, and that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way I'm going. Jesus is preparing our hearts. He is preparing our very souls right now. Now, through this process of life and sanctification, as we breathe and live every day, Jesus is preparing for our arrival in heaven. So I implore each one of you. I implore myself. Much of what I preach is for me more than anybody else, because God needs to change me. I implore you, begin living heaven now by the power of the Holy Spirit that every believer has. We can do so much more. We can love so much deeper. As Paul said to the believers, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. See, now, my beloved brothers and sisters, as we prepare to finish this time of worship and move into a time of celebration, of food, and we are also going to talk about some issues we have as a church and how we can become a more holy community, a church that is right before God, a church that loves each other, then I ask that you take this to heart. Let us fulfill the scriptures. Let us live heaven on earth. And let us be living as if we are in the presence of God now. And may our time this morning following the service be filled by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is the call for a life of a Christian. This is what we are to be about. Don't be afraid to love. You're going to get hurt once in a while, but that's okay, because God will heal your hurt. Be brave, step out, and live for Christ. Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We praise your holy name. We truly ask that you help us live a life that is full of your glory now, a life that we can deeply love others now, that we can begin to taste heaven as we mature and grow and are more sanctified as Christians. Help us, Father, for without you, we are truly, truly lost. In Christ's name. Amen.